Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast, the show where we explore the fascinating world of artificial intelligence and its impact on our lives. I'm your host, Mark Kelly, and I'm thrilled to have you joining us today. Each week, we delve into the cutting-edge developments, breakthrough technologies, and innovative applications of AI right here in Ireland and beyond. As Ireland emerges as a global hub for AI research and development, we are here to bring you insightful conversations with leading experts, entrepreneurs and thought leaders who are at the forefront of this exciting revolution. So get ready to expand your knowledge and be inspired by the incredible possibilities that lie ahead. But before we dive in, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoy what you hear, we'd love it if you could leave us a review and share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. Together, let's spread the AI revolution. Hi everybody, it's Mark Kelly here from AI Ireland. I hope you're doing really, really well wherever you are today. I'm delighted to welcome John Burke. John is R&D Tax Manager at Mazars, and John is here to tell us a little bit more about tax credits and why they're important in the world that we're living in currently. John, thank you very much for joining us on today.
Cheers, Mark. Great pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
John, tell us a little bit about your job in Mazars, and tell us also, like, how did you come into the world of R&D tax credits?
Sure. So I began in Mazars in summer 2015. My most recent role before then was with a family company, our own family company, that I'd worked in for a number of years for, was primarily in the area of sales. I then joined Mazars Global Mobility team, Global Mobility and Employment Tax, and really that is managing the implications of assignees who are moving to and fro Ireland and the tax implications of same. That's like an assignee heading from Ireland to Silicon Valley and vice versa and the other way around, and the tax implications of their coming and their going, and worked in that area for about 3 years, and then had a quick sidestep into the research and development tax credit department that was already well established at that stage.
And when you look at R&D tax credits, John, from a basic level, let's just start really basic. What are they, and you know, what type of activities can learn to kind of avail of them?
Sure. So, you know, in a nutshell, really, they're a government-based incentive to government tax incentive to really encourage and reward investment in research and development. So R&D is by its nature tricky, challenging, uncertain, and there are some obviously risky. Okay, so accordingly, obviously, the tax credit is there to provide companies with a bit of an incentive and a bit of get up to go and do it and to go and to innovate, because, you know, when companies innovate, we all collectively reap the benefits, and, you know, you get further, you know, employment and all of that good stuff that comes with it. So the tax credit, really, it's a 25% tax credit for qualifying expenditure on research and development. So what that means is, you know, a company who spends 100k on R&D, they're going to get a tax credit of 25k. A company who spends $1 million, they're going to see a tax credit of $250,000. It's really for one thing I'd be keen to get across is that it's not just for the Apples and the Pfizers of this world and the large multinationals. It's everything down to the small and the micro companies who are engaged in R&D. The key question is, I guess, it's actually the nuts and bolts, but what is research and development? And that's very much the starting point. And I'd be happy to segue in that direction if you want.
Yeah, that'd actually be good just to go into that. And also, if you could kind of give us a little bit of what the current trends are looking like within that area.
Sure. I tell you, we'll just start actually on the what qualifies, and then let's step into the trends. Okay, so in terms of qualifying R&D, there are five key conditions to be met. Okay, and they're very much universally accepted parameters to be met, because research and development is in Ireland, is research and development in the US, is research and development worldwide. You got to take that universal view always. So I'll just speed through the first three of the five, which are the easiest to satisfy. The first is that you're engaging in systematic, investigative, and experimental activities. Okay, what that means really is that the activities are being undertaken by, let's say, competent, recognized competent professionals who are suitably qualified, that it's working towards a plan and it isn't haphazard, and perhaps that it's adhering to a, let's say, for example, if it's in the area of software, that it's, you know, using a recognized software development methodology. That's condition one. Never too hard to satisfy this one. Second is that it's in a field of science or technology. It's extremely broad. It's everything from, you know, software development, food science, ag science, dental technology, you name it. Okay. Third condition is that it is involves any of the three or one or more of basic research, applied research, and experimental development. Think about that probably as a continuum of R to D, being research to development, everywhere from the start all the way through to the end of the product. Okay. First three are quite easy to satisfy, the easiest certainly, and the final two, which we'll labor on a little more, is that you need to be trying to achieve a scientific or technological advancement. And on the flip side of that coin, they're trying to overcome associated technological or scientific uncertainties. So a key point there to remember is that you're seeking to achieve, not necessarily achieving. Okay, what that's getting at there is, you know, you'll actually be, you know, should your project fail, or ultimately, it's not that it's something might be ultimately canned, but it might be, you know, back to the drawing board and remapped out, that you are being rewarded basically for your ventures, okay, for your ventures into the R&D realm. You mentioned there about trends and what we see in R&D. Dublin remains very much the main hub here in Ireland, okay, but there are certainly a lot of different clusters. I mean, Galway, for example, would be well known to have a budding medical devices industry down there, pharmaceuticals. Really, it's everywhere across Ireland. A huge amount of the focus would be in Dublin for obvious reasons, with it being, but you might obviously have heard of it as the, well, sometimes referred to as the Silicon Valley of Europe, in terms of that whole ecosystem that we've got in there in the software space. In terms of on the trends on the research and development tax credit, okay, which is a follow-on, okay, from that, we're seeing, I think in the most recent statistics, more than 1,600 claims made in Ireland. And that was, those were statistics that were published by Revenue in about a couple of months ago. Okay, so about 1,600 claims, and that was in relation to 2021 filings. Cost about $1.3 billion to the taxpayer. Okay, but it's, you know, it's generally been trending upwards. Probably a little bit of a steadying off in terms of it would have seen a rapid growth. Obviously, it's in its inception of the tax credit regime 20 years ago. Steadying off a little bit now. Generally trending upwards.
When you look at, it's funny you say that, because I would instantly think of this as for larger corporations and not necessarily the smaller ones. So I'm guessing companies are leaving money on the table. And how do you start to avail of this? You know, what are the kind of the next steps? How do you start to take action?
Sure. You're right. A lot of companies are probably leaving money on the table. There is that perception, which I'm always keen to get out there, is that this is not just for the Pfizers and the Apples and the big multinationals whose names we all know. This is for any company that is engaged in R&D, and critically, also for pre-revenue companies, loss-making companies. This is a tax credit, not just basically to be offset against any corporation tax liabilities that you may have, you know. In fact, the majority of our clients actually will be loss-making. And what that means is they're going to get the tax credit back in the form of refundable installments. So there's a huge amount of companies who are leaving it on the table. And unfortunately, because there's a 12-month deadline in order to claim the credit, it means that in some instances, it's water under the bridge. Okay, so most companies are going to have 31 December accounting period ends. What that means in respect of 31 December 2022 accounting periods, they've got until 31 December 2023. in order to put their claim together. Unfortunately, the ship has sailed in respect of those earlier periods, but it's certainly a conversation that I'm very, very well used to having with companies in terms of their, when it's their first ever look into this and they think of what they could have done years ago. But look, at that spilt milk, and all we can do is move on. And thankfully enough, we've plenty of clients who we assist in getting, well, ultimately what is a valuable source of innovation funding.
Yeah, so again, you've mentioned two things that I would have just wrongly assumed. Profitability being linked. So you're pursuing activity, and if it doesn't go well, sometimes you can actually think, oh, it didn't go well, so consequently, I may not avail of that. So that's wrong assumption number one. Size the company, wrong assumption number two. And then you've got 12 months to avail of it. So if you're listening now and you're thinking, okay, the clock is ticking, I can work on this and I can contact a professional like yourself. And, you know, it's 25%. So if you mentioned, you know, 100K, across an organization that scales, it's quite a sizable amount of money that can be reinvested back into the business. Is there anything else that people listening in should take into consideration?
I would say it's very important, obviously, to just to get the, you know, a lot of innovators are ultimately engaged in R&D on an almost annual basis, whether they are developing new products or whether they are continually developing a multi-year product, okay, or a project that they might be working on. So one of the key things I would say is, you know, it's very important to get your best foot forward, to have your underlying documentation in order, okay? So ultimately, I mean, company files a tax credit claim on its annual corporation tax return, okay? And that's all the good stuff in getting either reducing your tax liability or getting your funds back in the form of your refundable installments. And all that's great, but in the background to that, it is very important that you have some documentation in place. You know, what that's getting at here is, you know, it's good until it's not good. Okay, and once we, you know, revenue are, you know, as the administrators of this regime, charged with making sure that claimants for the tax credit are valid and that they constitute qualifying R&D. So really, you want, when I talk about documentation, you're talking about, you know, tracking your staff time in a project. Well, what is the project? What stage is it at? What's the vision for the project? What have you been doing over the last period? Who are the people involved in it? What are their specific roles? And it's just been able to substantiate it so that if revenue were to come, that you can basically provide a picture as to, well, why we believe it constitutes R&D. And that comes back to that, those conditions that we talked about at the start. To hit the nail on the head, you're looking for a scientific or technological advancement. There's associated scientific or technological uncertainties. And you know, that bit there, it's really never black and white to people. People scarcely read those rules and they say, they get the light bulb moment. That's it. You know, they can be very, very, very strong indicators. Sometimes that only happens, you know, sometimes it's only when they have a conversation with somebody like ourselves that we're able to tease that out with them. Okay. So it's not, it is by its definition very subjective, but obviously there are a lot of indicators that can be very persuasive.
Yeah, quite a bit to take into consideration, and particularly within small to medium enterprises where, you know, a lot of the owner occupiers who are doing the work, they're hands-on, working on the business, within that business. So to be able to put those procedures in place and tick those boxes, you know, that is a professional's job to do, because, you know, not getting it right can be very, very time consuming and take away from what they're effectively good at, which is, you know, adding value within that business offering too. So how do people take action? How do they reach out to you? What would be the next logical steps to do in that, John?
Sure. Yeah, well, as I mentioned, a lot of companies are going to have filings coming up for September, that being the majority of companies having 31 December year ends. They're going to have corporation tax filings coming up in September. So the credit can either be included in the upcoming filing, or alternatively in the period up until 31 December 2023. So that gives us, at the time of our speaking, I guess just over 4 months, which is ample time to be able to actually get the best foot forward. I think the best way is usually about having a very open conversation about the start, at the start. And what that means is typically a typical engagement, or let's say pre-engagement, is just talking to somebody, talking to whether it's the CEO or the CTO, who has a good picture of what the project is, naturally enough, and just letting them speak. Tell us what your product is. Tell us what you're trying to do. Tell us who's involved in it. What's the state of the art in the field? And if we're able to establish that, then, you know, that's really the starting point. And if we think that there's actually underlying R&D, well, then we look at the costs and what we can actually get for you. So that's the starting point, is just having that initial conversation.
Really, really helpful. Thank you very much for your time. I've been chatting with John Burke. John is R&D tax manager at Mazars. Thank you very much for your time today.
Good stuff. Cheers, Mark. Many thanks.
Membership of AI Ireland placed your organisation at the centre of the fastest growing technology sector in the world today. As a member, you'll have access to a diverse and highly engaged professional community, which is committed to driving artificial intelligence forward in Ireland. Membership of AI Ireland is for any organisation employing data and analytics. We offer memberships to corporate, government and SME organisations. Interested to find out more? Contact mark@aiawards.ie.